March 16th, Blessed Torello of Poppi, Confessor, Third Order. Born 1202 in the Tuscan town of Poppi, Torello came from the noble family of Torelli. When he lost his parents at the age of 18, he was thinking of devoting himself to the service of God and gave generous alms to the poor. But he had two bad friends and was soon corrupted by their example and influence, so that he became the scandal of the town. One day, when he was about 36 years old, he was amusing himself with his associates at the game of bowling. During the game, a cock perched on his arm and crowed three times. Torello took this as a warning from heaven, deserted his friends without delay, and went to confession to a priest at the Abbey of San Fedele, one of the houses of the Vallombrosian Benedictines. Torello then went into the nearby Casentino Mountains to look for a suitable place for a hermitage. After wandering around in the woods for 8 days, he found a cave in a secluded spot called Avellaneto, not far from Poppi. After purchasing the land around this cave and giving what remained of his property to the poor, he built a little hermitage at the cave and cultivated a small vegetable garden to provide himself with food. But he ate very little and fasted for days at a time. He limited his sleep to 3 hours daily and slept on a bed of brushwood and thorny twigs. To overcome the persistent temptations of the flesh and the devil, he scourged himself unmercifully and sometimes immersed himself in freezing water. Under his woolen habit, he wore a shirt of pigskin from which only some of the bristles had been removed. He kept up this life of penance for about 45 years, and as Wadding tells us, he became a member of the Third Order of St. Francis in the fourth year of his conversion. Like St. Francis, he possessed a supernatural power over the wolves, of whom there were many in the Casentino Mountains during the 13th century. He worked several miracles in behalf of children who were carried off by wolves, and for others who were attacked and bitten by wolves, both before and after his death. When he was 80 years old, Blessed Torello went back to the Abbey of San Fedele to make a general confession of his whole life and to ask that his body be buried in the abbey. Despite the entreaties of the monks that he spend his last days in their care, Torello returned to his hermitage, where another hermit, Peter of Poppi, had joined him. And there he died on March 16, 1282, while kneeling in prayer. He was beatified by Pope Benedict XIV. At the tomb of Blessed Torello in the Abbey Church, a man who was in exile from Siena prayed that he might be permitted to return to his native city. He promised to observe the feast of Blessed Torello every year and to have a picture of the holy hermit painted. His prayer was answered, and he engaged the services of an artist. But the latter had never seen Blessed Torello and did not know what to do. Then he had a dream or vision in which he saw Torello wearing the habit of the Third Order and holding a wolf cub in his arms. And this is how the painting represents Blessed Torello of Poppi. On avoiding carousals. Compare the mortified life of Blessed Torello with the life of many Christians who are slaves to gluttony and who delight in all sorts of feasting. He was a servant of God, and even if a rigorous life like his is not obligatory for every Christian, it points out, nevertheless, what the sentiments of a true Christian in regard to these matters should be. And they that are Christ's have crucified their flesh with the vices and concupiscences. Galatians 5:24. That is why the Third Order rule prescribes that tertiaries should refrain from all forms of dissipation. Whoever hankers after them is not a follower of God and Saint Francis, but rather of Dives, the man who feasted sumptuously every day. Luke 16:19. To which group do you belong? Perhaps you will say Christ himself took part in the wedding feast at Cana. True. He who became all things to all men wished to give us an example in the event that we are obliged under circumstances to attend such banquetings. Think of the moderation with which that wedding dinner was prepared, so that the wine soon gave out. Imagine the conversation that went on in the presence of Jesus and Mary. It was like the wedding feast of Tobias, of which it is said, "They made merry, blessing God." Tobias 7:17. Would that Christian feasting were always conducted in this way. Then, when circumstances arise, every Christian could attend without detriment. Consider how unworthy of a Christian it is to be fond of sumptuous feasting and to be a slave to his appetite. Almighty God has ordained that eating should serve to support our lives, nor does he forbid us to refresh mind and body with better food on feast days or noteworthy occasions. But he who on such occasions thinks only of glutting sensual pleasure disgraces a Christian festivity with the feasting of pagans. And, sad to say, that sometimes happens at Christian weddings, baptisms, and even at funerals. Prayer of the Church. Grant, we beseech thee, Almighty God, that the dignity of human nature, impaired by intemperance, may be restored by the practice of wholesome self-denial. Through Christ our Lord. Blessed Torello of Poppi.